All right, the Lord is good. If you believe it, give me an amen.
Amen.
All right, can we rise to our feet again? We'll sit down in a moment, but I just want us to together declare the word of God as we do before we start studying. Now I declare,
the Lord
has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, walking the manner worthy of the Lord, I am pleasing Him in all respects. I am bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
I said amen.
Amen.
That is your portion today in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Understanding has come to you again in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And healing has come into your stomach, into your legs, into your head, every part of you today in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know, Kenneth Hagin says something in one of those, of course, I quote his messages a lot. He said those days that he used to do outreach programs with healing meetings, that it never used to happen, that it was rare for any of his church members to get healed during the healing meetings. People use these dramatic healings, but usually they're not their church members. Outsiders, unbelievers, people who never heard the word of healing, all right? But his church members never died. They always got well. They always got well. Just like usually was not dramatic. The word would just be entering them slow, slow. Are you getting my point? Slow, you know what they call slow poison. Do you remember slow poison? Yes, just they kill the diseases slow, slow. Slow, slow. The man that was not seeing well before starts seeing clearly as the word is entering his heart. Are you getting my point? The heart that was beating regularly before starts beating well. Small, small. Nothing dramatic. Because they are believers. There was no, God was not trying to do a miracle for them. He was trying to put life into them. And life was working. Life was working. Life was working. And life is working in you.
Amen.
I said life is working in you.
Amen.
As the word is coming forth, life is working in you.
Amen.
It's releasing life into your system.
Amen.
As the word is coming forth, it's driving away sickness.
Amen.
It's driving away every affliction.
Amen.
It's driving away confusion.
Amen.
It's driving away every trouble.
Amen.
It's giving you a sound mind.
Amen.
I said it's giving you a sound mind.
Amen.
It's giving you confidence.
Amen.
It's giving you the ability to reject the lies of Satan.
Amen.
Believe me, most of the things people operate by, they are lies of Satan. They lie plenty. Satan lies all kinds of ways. There was one I saw the other day, I said, they started again. I was watching news. In fact, if you are not strong in spirit, stop watching news. Just stop. Just stop entirely. I'll be telling you the one that's important. Don't worry. Very funny. You know, you hear all kinds of things. They said that we start conserving water. Water is about to finish. I said, oh, more. That fresh water is getting scarce. And that they give us calculation of how we won't have enough water to drink in 30 years' time. I was looking at these people. I said, when I was in secondary school, water used to move in a cycle. It's not crude oil that burns. It evaporates. It condenses. No matter what you do with water, it's coming back. These people were telling us that you have to now conserve water. They even said that how you can conserve water. Don't eat meat because for every, I'm not joking, every kilogram of meat, the cow needs to drink 10 gallons of water. No, like maybe 5,000 gallons of water to produce for you 1 kilogram of meat. So if you eat less meat, there will be less cows that need water. And there will be more water available in the environment. I say it's not good for God to place a curse on people, though. When God has cursed people, they start talking stupidly, foolishly. Obama wake up and say, love is love. If Adam wants to marry Steve, I said, God, thank you that you did not reject me and put me into madness. All forms of madness. They said, when I was saying something that they was watching, they said, Eco Solutions, don't eat meat. Why? So that the cow won't need to drink water. I felt like rushing to the market and eating the whole cow. You're getting my point? People operate by the lies of the devil all the time. And then naturally we just wake up, remove 2 breasts and 2 ovaries. Why? Her auntie died from breast cancer. And somebody said, maybe she will get. I said, thank God I go to church.
Yes.
You know, one of my colleagues sent a picture today. I laughed. It showed a big snake, actually a python or a boa constrictor, one of them. All right? Picking a fish, one big fish up. And there was a caption on it.
They said, this is how the media will report this. Brave snake rescuing a fish from drowning. Did you hear that joke? A brave snake is rescuing a fish from drowning. When I saw it, I said, this is a perfect... I can show you the picture afterwards. I said, this is a perfect illustration of what the world does to us today. They take a basic truth and say it's the other way. A snake that's about to eat is rescuing fish from drowning. You know, if you don't think about it, you say, okay, it's true. Maybe, why are you sure he doesn't want to rescue the fish from drowning? They have to tell you, oh boy, fish doesn't drown. Fish does not drown. Do you know, this is how they will now get up and tell you. Do you know, right now in America, the Supreme Court is hearing a case of whether a little boy, a young boy, a teenager, a boy, whether he has the right to use a female bathroom. It is in Supreme Court now in the United States. There is discrimination. Why? Should you be allotted bathroom based on your appearance or your identity? So a normal Nigerian will say, what's the difference between your appearance and your identity? So if we come out, you know, usually when, I mean, I did the obstetrics posting when I was a medical student. In our school that time, when a woman delivers, you don't tell her it's a boy or it's a girl. You show her, she will open her mouth and say, she will take a look at the genitals and say, it's a boy or it's a girl. That was the rule in our own environment there, that no, the doctor doesn't say it, the nurse doesn't say it, the patient says it. That same boy that the mother looked and said, it's a boy. 17 years later, he goes to school, say, I won't go peace. She headed for the female segment. They say, go the other way. He said, discrimination. Why? My identity is female. How come you know you are female? He said, that is how I feel. So when I wake up in the morning, I feel like a cockroach. Are you getting my point? Ah! I said, God. So I told my colleagues, I said, this is why I hold on to my faith in God. Because when you depart from faith in God, you become so foolish. You are so foolish, you won't even realize how foolish you are. In your foolishness, you think you are normal. Ah, the world is upside down. But for those of us in Christ, there is hope, amen?
Amen.
That is why I rejoice all the time. I don't live my life by the lies of the devil. They wake up in the morning and just make up their mind for you. And if you are not careful, now you don't see... Hungry people say they don't eat egg. So who gave you egg before? I know you don't eat egg, but is it because of health or because of poverty? Let's decide. You say, doctor says it's bad for me. He said, your pocket told you it's worse. No, forget all of these things. I hope you're getting my point here. Listen, when the word is entering you, it prevents you from living your life by the lies of the devil. A man does business, he collapses. They say it's his wife's mother. Isn't so she dey powerful? Why has she not used the power to build a mansion? Her power can only destroy your business. It's a lie. But those of us who know the truth, we don't believe such lies. Why was I sick? Somebody was doing incantation that you fall sick. Say it doesn't have that power. Was it here I was preaching or wasn't worried? I said, there are prayers you pray, God gets angry. Do you know that? There are prayers you pray, God is just angry. Say he has come again. Gabriel, go and tell him, if I hear this prayer point again, I will injure him. And you know it's in the Bible, God can be angry with your behavior. And let me give an example. He told Jeremiah, if you are afraid of them, I will disgrace you before them. There are prayer points that you pray, God will now make your life hard. Let me give you an example. He said, my auntie is the one that said I will not marry. You now kneel down and start praying. In the name of Jesus, I cancel every word that she has spoken. God said, listen, get up from there. Otherwise, I will kill you so that your dead body will not even think about marrying. When did your auntie start sharing her husband? I don't know whether I get my point.
Yes.
When did your auntie become the one sharing out husband? There are prayer points God doesn't want to hear. I'm not joking. No. When they tell your auntie, say, forget that thing. You won't take it serious. Why should I take it serious? I'm going on the road. One crazy man does me, and I should go and pray. So why are you praying? As I was passing today, I saw people doing like this on the road. And I think they are casting a spell on me. I'm not joking about it. From now on, there are certain prayer points you must never pray. When somebody comes with revelation that they have discovered that your uncle is the one that said that your business will never do well, He said, why didn't he tell me? He said, no, he's in the village doing the thing. If you come up in prayer about it, your business is about to collapse for longer. What are you supposed to do? I will give it to you straight. Ignore it and sleep. The only response, tell the person that, get away. Nobody has that power. That's the only response you need. If you now get up at night and say, hey, I begin to bind every force, fighting my destiny. As you are saying, you are thinking of your uncle. Every force, fighting my destiny, die by fire, die by fire. Let me tell you the truth. Your future is being roasted by fire. And that's not supposed to be a joke. Your next business will be roasted before you conceive of it. God just gets angry. Say, what kind of thing is this? Mouth you should be using to pray serious prayer point. You are using it to pray rubbish prayer point. Listen, there are prayers you pray. It's a sign of fear. You know, I keep on saying that. It's a sign of fear. Say, your uncle, you know, he's a juju man. He has said he will not prosper. There's only one response. Say to them, he doesn't have the power over my prosperity. Don't wake up at night and say, Lord, every arrow he's firing. God say, listen. The only arrow, I've said it here before. The only arrows are the ways that Satan sends people to sit in your hearing so as to scare you. When you start praying that prayer, that arrow has actually entered. You don't know. You say the man is firing arrow. That prayer is a sign that arrow has, and you are directing your prayer at a wrong arrow. Nobody from the village can tell a Christian that he will not prosper. But let me tell you, I'll be honest with you. This message where they preach, the Holy Spirit knows I'm tired of it. But I have to keep saying it. Are you getting my point, Apostle? When I want to, I just feel like I'll be embarrassed if somebody who has sense is listening to me and say, why is this guy preaching about arrows from the village? Who knows that it's the people I'm preaching to? I have to solve the problem. When you have all kinds of clowns in town, confusing them, you have to wash the feet of the saints. They are washing the feet is not just physical washing. He said, you are cleansed if you have had a bath. That is, if you have been washed by by redemption in Christ, you are clean. But then why do you still have to wash your feet? Every day you go out, you get into dust, all those kind of things. Bad thoughts, bad opinions, people deceiving you. After a while, you just want to say, Pastor Bank, let's just be sure. I heard that. I'm not saying I believe it too, but let me just hear your opinion. That's why we say all of these things. It's called washing of feet. We are washing the feet of the saints from wrong thoughts, wrong attitudes, wrong opinions. People confusing them, giving them prayer points that God did not give them. That's what I'm talking about. Are you getting my point here?
Yes, sir.
Listen, as the word, that's where I began from. As the word is entering you, it's immunizing you against all these wrong thoughts. It's immunizing you against wrong opinions. It's immunizing you against living your life by fear. Praying prayers of fear, thinking they are prayers of faith. It's well within Jesus' name.
Amen.
Let's take our seats. We'll stand up in a moment to pray. It's our school of prayer. But I want us to just, first of all, look at some things briefly. I titled my prayer today, Purification Prayers. What they call purification. Yes, to purify. When something has been defiled, a bit of dirt has come upon it, you have to purify it. And you will see why I'm talking about it. The Lord is good. I preached this message on Sunday in Makurdi. And as I was preparing for today's prayer meeting, it came to my mind again. I said, no, it would be a good way to start our purification prayers for today. Our message is on purification. I want to talk about how to pray again for ourselves. We want to pray for ourselves, not really talk about it. What it is that we need to do when it comes to praying. As I was saying, introducing this prayer for today, I was emphasizing to us again, please, let's forget this African mentality in which we feel that our fight is against people. Please, I need to keep saying that. All right? Everywhere you go, that is the main thing that people are talking about. It's the posters you see. It's an auntie waiting, I do you. Uncle, free me now. You know that kind of thing. You understand? One of the funniest ones is needed in the city but tied in the village. You've seen that one. I can only see one man tied with rope, like Lazarus, you know, from his neck down to his ankles. And then the prayer point is that today we are going to free everyone that is tying him. Let me just say this again because I just feel strongly that I should just explain it. Please, do not confuse issues. Because when I talk like this, sometimes those who have only seen home movies and bad stories, they say, you don't know how powerful African witches are. Listen to me. I know how powerful African witches are. I just want to clarify for those who may have the question in their minds. Nobody is saying that devil does not exist. Occultists and witches and wizards don't exist. What I'm saying is that no matter how wicked they are, no matter how bad the laws of Nigeria are written, it does not apply to an American in his country. What I mean is this. Me, or the believer, the Christian, and the so-called witches are not in the same realm. They are not in the same category. Most of the stories you hear are stories of people in the same realm fighting each other. I've heard those stories again and again. There was one girl. The woman auntie said, this one. And for 8 years, the pregnancy refused to come down. And then, when I began to pray, and then suddenly, so tonight, if anything has been suffering in your life, you begin to pray that those who are holding it. There's a major part that has been jumped. Who is the girl? Who's her auntie? Are we in the same category? I don't know what, are you getting my point? Even Fela used to sing it too. You know, Fela has a song like that. Me are you no day for the same category. You know, remember that song? Hey, why can't you even learn from Fela? Even Fela. People come in different categories. That's what I'm saying. And the believer is in a different category. So don't tell stories of those who are in the below category and not apply to those who are seated high above category. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying. That is all my messages. I'm saying that the believer in Christ Jesus has been delivered from the realm in which those mundane spirits can handle him or can handle her to the realm in which only what God says applies in the person's life. I feel like I should say it again today. I'm not saying that the Christian doesn't have problems. I'm just saying that the problems are not caused by those funny things. Where your placenta was buried is irrelevant to your current issues in life unless you are not a Christian. Unless you have not yet truly given your life to Christ. When you start digging for buried things, it shows that you are thoroughly confused or you are not yet a believer. I will say these things the way they are. If you follow anybody to the village to go and deliver any witch from a tree, your problems will get worse. I am not telling you that maybe. I am confirming it to you as a mouth through which God is speaking to people this evening, that anybody that goes for such activities will get worse problems. Please get it clear. One day, one of my students, he came to me, said, we're having some problems. When he finished describing it, I said, so, he says, mother said you should go for a prayer. What happened? I was just joking in class. I was teaching a medical class. I was just joking about things like the people would just be praying foolish prayers. The boy now came and said, please, oh, his mother has been pursuing him for days. They need to go and pray. And that he has refused to go. So based on what I said that day, he was happy that somebody was saying, so he came to talk to me. What do I think? I said, of course, you don't need those funny prayers. And he was having some small health issues, you understand? He described it to me that that's some of the reasons why the mother was saying they should go for a prayer. So that day I was in a hurry. Next time he came, he said, hey, that thing he was saying last time. I said, oh boy, your problem is because of the way you sit when you are reading. Of course, based on my understanding of what you call physiology, all right, and then experience in life, and I believe it was Holy Spirit helping the young man. I said, when you sit down to read, I just demonstrated his posture for him. I said, this is how you sit. His eyes popped. He said, yes, sir. I said, your problem will vanish. One, get another chair. Or, if you have to use the chair you're using currently, every 30 minutes, get up, walk, you know, just walk a bit for 1 minute, sit down again. I just described a few things to him. That was what he was going to go home for deliverance for. And those evil spirits are looking for who to hold. Once they know you are responsive. Listen, let me tell you the truth. That's how they are. Those of you have been going to prayer houses. I don't need to ask you to put up your hand. You know you are in bondage. It's true now. You know you are in bondage. You exchange one form of bondage for another. That's what happened. Before the prayer house, you were not sleeping well, but you were in your house. But now with the prayer house, you are not sleeping well, but you are in the prayer house. But your sleep has not come. How can it come? One day my wife and I were talking. We were talking about some issues. Some people had problems and the problem had ended. And when he told me how the problem ended, I told my wife, the problem hasn't ended. I said, the problem has been postponed. There will be a rematch. The devil is coming back. I said, what's my reason? I said, this deliverance is not on the right premise. A man and his wife were having issues. Are you getting my point? And the man was told by all these people that do divination and familiar spirits and all of that, claiming to be prophets, that your wife is the reason why you're having problems. So he estranged himself from his wife for a long time. Then one day, a more credible prophet turned around and proved to him that his wife was not the cause of his problem. So he reconciled with his wife, and everybody was happy. I said, bad news. I said, bad news. Why do I say bad news? The man, the problem has not been solved. It's been postponed. Now, God is good, though. He helps people the little he can. The one they allow him. What do I mean? If he understood who he was in Christ, he wouldn't have needed any prophet to tell him anything. If indeed he was in Christ, it is not as if, okay, now that they have proven to you that your wife is not a witch, so you are now reconciled to her. So, you know, if nobody proved it, what would have happened? Now, we all agree she was never a witch. And he's sorry for the days in which he believed it. But you see, the main problem is that you are susceptible to somebody telling you that your wife is a witch. Because a more wicked prophet may show up tomorrow and give you more evidence. It's not your wife this time, it's your children or your mother. And once they can convince you your mother is a witch, you are dead meat. Your one don't finish. If your wife is a witch, it's bad though. At least they can convince your wife is a witch, it's bad. But it's not as terrible the way I've seen it as when they now convince your mother is a witch, especially when your father has died. You see what I'm saying in a moment. If you are not married and they convince you your mother is a witch, you can't live long. We have to explain these things. The reason is that people are held in bondage all the time because they don't understand how things work. God has helped some of us. We're not really for our own personal gain. God has given us understanding so as to deliver people. That's where I'm going. So beware. Once somebody can... Look, see all these single boys that are doing business? Maybe... Now listen to this. They haven't married. And why they have not married, we'll talk about that in a moment. But he's helping his mother. The mother is a pensioner or never worked in civil service, but she's not... I mean, she's a widow. She's a woman of nine, and this is her only son. Are you getting my point? Then, listen to what I want to say carefully. When the evil spirits want to kill him, in this life, even when you're not a Christian, there are people who are helping you. And God is still merciful even to unbelievers. You think God kills every unbeliever? No. He shows them a lot of mercy. That's why rain falls equally. As it's raining on unbelievers' roof, it's raining on believers' roof. As it's raining in the unbelievers on the believers' farm, it's raining in the unbelievers' farm. It's mercy. It's not geography. It's mercy. I hope you get my point. When federal government pays salary, all these workers, believers, unbelievers, they get. Have you ever gone to a company and say, everybody working here is a Christian? That's why we pay salaries regularly. Not lie. God knows what he's doing. There are reasons why he blesses even unbelievers. Even there are people he has given up on. God gives up on people. He still will be blessing them. He said, why? He said, he has children. Let me collect the thing I left in his lineage. So we'll be giving the man money so he can pay fees, children can eat. Some of those children will go to school, they give their life to Christ, and God said, your father will not die until you don't need him again. The man will be prospering, he thinks iniquity pays. He doesn't know that his children that is the one that God is sustaining him for. All the wickedness of his soul. God said, forget him. Just be paying those fees. I'm okay. I will send it to her later. But right now, be paying the school fees, buying the food, paying house rent or building house, settle those boys for me, settle those girls, so that they can focus on the thing I want to do in their lives. So the man now thinks that the preaching you are preaching against judgment, about judgment day, is not true. Because for all the evil he's doing, he's still making it. He doesn't know that God knows what he's doing. For those people that after they disobeyed God, and God said, 40 years you've been in the wilderness. They were prospering in 40 years, eating free food. Well, God was waiting for them to die after their children will grow up. So many times, listen, this is a matter of fact. The young man is there. God is showing him small mercy. His business is doing well. What he doesn't realize is that the reason why God is showing him mercy is that every month he does not remember, forget to send his mother something. He decided to build a house in the village. Not because he needed it, but so that his mother could move in there. Christmas time, he would buy clothes, buy things, send to his mother. The mother would share with two or three of her sisters. And all of them would say, my friend Emeka, my son Emeka is a very good, our brother, our son Emeka, good boy. God will bless him for us. God will add it to the reason why he's alive. Then one day they will call him and say, you know that your cousin? He's not doing well, but he's trying, shall? He's got nothing, got admission, but there's no money to pay. Then he will send money. And they say, God will keep him for us. God adds it to the reason why he's alive. And one day when the enemies, his business competitors want to kill him, they will go to go and hire a witch. Go and hire Balaam against him. Balaam will try to kill him. And God will say, no. Every day what I hear, God will bless Emeka. God will keep him for us. God will help him. He is so kind. His kindness is speaking. So when Balaam talks, because Elijah is not here, so the people who are fighting him, what has he done against them? Nothing. But God, so they said, but Lord, remember those two girls. They are not in the market, they are somewhere else. Those two girls he's fornicating with. Is it not in the scriptures? I was saying, I know, but I can't kill him yet. There are too many people saying God will keep him for us. So Balaam will now go and meet Balak. It's like in the Bible. Say, what do we do? We have to separate him from his mother, separate him from the aunties, separate him from all those people who are saying God will keep him for us. So what do we do? He's having problems. Get one of those girls to push him to go and pray. He will now be talking to one new girlfriend he has. I don't know what's going on. I will now come from one of those terrible churches. I won't mention names. But most of them have fire in their titles. Most of them, go and check it. They have fire. My mother called me today, we're talking about something. Mentioned, we said, fire mountain, fire problem, fire. I said, is it MFM? He said, no, not MFM. Fire, it's another fire one. I said, fire. So they will have those kind of fire things. Then the boy will foolishly, of course, he doesn't know that's where Balak is waiting. That's where Balaam has sent, that's the enticement. They will start praying, say, your mother is a witch. Two of your aunties are in the coven with her. And these are the same people that have been saying to God. They don't kneel down to pray, they just say it. God will keep him for us. The young man will foolishly, of course, they will tell him that every money you give them, they carry it to coven. And that is why you've been having these problems. Next thing that happens, what does he do? He cuts that off. Then the mother falls sick one day. Buy medicine now. I don't have any money. Call Emeka now. He has not been taking my calls. Maybe he traveled. Then somebody say, which kind of travel? I was in his office just last week. He didn't go anywhere. And the mother is beginning to wonder. Remember, she never prayed directly. Say, God, in the name of Jesus. She just says, God will keep him. In the same manner, she starts accusing him. She does not know. Say, I don't know what I did to him. Only God will judge. Can you see? An intercessor has become an accuser. All those aunties that used to put small word. Nothing they drop again. Now. Is it prayer now free? I mean, no venison to provoke. So they now become sympathizers to the mother, but actually co-accusers. You say, what? Hey, Mama Emeka, what is happening? I don't know. These young men these days, their head is not correct again. Did you see? Are you getting my point? That's it. They add it. They start piling it up, piling it up, piling it up. The only person praying for him, they have cut the person off simply by accusing the person of being a witch. I don't have enough space in my heart to feel sorry for the unbelievers. There's too many Christians to feel sorry for. So I'm not talking about the people who have not given their lives to Christ. The annoying ones are those who are supposed to be Christians. They are supposed, those are the annoying ones. The ones that are supposed to be Christians, that are supposed to know better. They are supposed to laugh at such accusations. They are the ones that are supposed to say, I beg you, forget that thing. Even if my mother was a witch, what can she do against me? Is my life not hidden with Christ in God? The one that is in me, is it not greater than the one that's in the world? Come on, forget it. I may have problems. The Bible says, beloved, rejoice. You can't do all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Because the trial of your faith works patience. Is this not the trial of my faith? Say, listen, this is the word of God. Say, if you give your mother money, she'll carry it to a coven. Say, listen, I will not disobey God's word because I'm afraid of somebody who's going to a coven. After all, it was a lie. And if it was any, in fact, listen, like I always say, like mothers also said that the mother, she carried the pregnancy, she didn't eat you. You suck free breast, she didn't poison the thing from inside. I mean, all the times she had you, choke you like this. 5 minutes, you are dead meat. She left you. Now waited till you are 40. Now that you have money that she can eat, that's when she will now kill you. You yourself, you decrease for believer. You believe I can't. How can you believe it? You are the one that should tell them, say, come, you are not serious. He said, but I dreamt. And I saw her in my dream. I have a question for you. If you were a witch, would you wear a mask? Even armed robber, they agree wear a mask. Say, the person want to attack is my cousin. Let him not see my face. Then your mother will now show up with her face like this. You should know it's a lie. That is how they hold people in bondage every day. They will now be going to church. And every day they are praying. Go and check it. Nobody ever went to those prayer houses and discontinued. There's the same prayer they've been praying since. The enemies are not yet dead. Listen, let me tell you, in case it is you I'm talking about, don't let anybody confuse you. They are taking away people that should have been praying for you. Even if you're a Christian, people are still praying for you. Paul used to say, pray for us. Paul will say, God will not forget your work, forget the labor of love, for the one that you have shown him, that you minister to the saints and you are still ministering. The things you are doing as a believer, God is still counting. He's watching with the right heart. He's doing it from the right heart. He's counting. The same Paul said it. This is honor your father and your mother is the first commandment with a reward. How do people just wake up in the morning, they take the scripture, just disobey it entirely? Why? Because of self-preservation, born out of fear. Say Christmas is coming. Say that, no, be November with this. Oh. Yes, December is next. The way the days are going these days, like one, did you see that joke? One man said, no, be just now, we'll say Happy New Year. He said, the way the days are going, see, 24 hours does not last again. He said, I'm suspecting our landlord. What am I trying to say? Listen, say December is coming, Abi. Yes, all those of you are afraid to go to the village. If you don't want to go, don't go. I'm not saying you should go. That is, you don't feel like going. You have work to do. You don't like the road. Anyway, but if those are the reasons, no wahala. But if you don't go because of fear of winch, let me just warn you ahead of time. Your problems will be worse in January. So get ready for fight. What did I say? This one say, now listen, when you want to, when I say fight now, I mean it. You're not fighting the witch, you are fighting the fear. That this fear is not going to prevent me, I'm going. You make up your mind, this one, I am going. Why should fear be controlling your life? One day, a friend of mine, you know, he came to Nigeria. And because those people are abroad, you know, they hear all kinds of negative news. So he was staying in my house. So I was supposed to help him book his flight. He was returning back to the U.S., then we had 4 flights between Lagos, Enugu and Lagos. The first flight was early in the morning, around 9 o'clock, 8, 9. The next one was 11, one by 3, another one by 4, something like that. So I said, well, and his flight was by 9 o'clock. So I got him the 11 o'clock flight. I said, so that we won't have to hurry, you know, come and relax a bit. You don't have to hurry up in the morning. Just wake up at a relaxed time. We'll park, we'll geese, we eat breakfast. Then by, you know, Enugu is not like Lagos, and my house is close to the airport. So that by 10, we'll start driving out. In 20 minutes, we're at the airport. We check in. We bought your flight for 11. So he said, okay. Then he now called me. He said, thank you. What is the earliest flight? I said, there's one by 8. He said, book that one for me. Why now? He said, actually, he has no problem with the one he booked to, but that his wife has been on the phone. That she has a bad feeling that he's going to miss his flight in Lagos. So he shouldn't come to Enugu again. He should just, from where he is, he should rush to Lagos. Ah. So I told the woman, I said, what do you mean? I have a lot of plans, people I'm supposed to see, bank is waiting for me, this and that and that. The woman, they talk, so he now called me, say, what do I think? I said, this is where I'm going. I said, is it that God said you should start coming home? No, we discussed those things. I said, it's not just your wife they fear. He said, my brother, it is fear. I said, in that case, we cannot live our lives by fear. That's how the discussion ended. He said, what you have said is true. Why do we allow fear to be dictating the decisions we make in life? That's what the Bible says. I'm going to Enugu. He finally made a compromise. That's when they called me. Later, he now called me back and said, well, this is a compromise I gave her, that I would take the first flight out of town. But what I'm telling the story is that I told him simply, my brother, we cannot let fear dictate our lives. And that was what solved that problem for him. And I'm telling you today, you cannot let fear dictate your life. Fear cannot rule you. Are you getting my point? The Bible says you have been delivered, all right, from the fear of death. That's what Jesus came to do. He said, because of fear, people are held in bondage all their lives. And why did Jesus come? To deliver them because of fear. Not only fear of witches, fear of poverty. There are those they have lied to. That if you don't get out of Nigeria, poverty is your portion. And they're running up and down because of fear. Let me tell you the truth. If you run away from poverty in Nigeria, it is waiting for you in America. Ogunanu, I am not kidding about it. You don't break poverty as a believer by geographical manipulation. You want to break poverty? It's a manipulation of the heart. Look, go and ask questions. Every hustler in Nigeria is a hustler in America. Now, so. The boys go faguru, faguru, faguru for Nigeria. They don't move. They go America, begin faguru again. The life no, they change. The difference is the picture he's sending to you. I'm not kidding, no. Some people see, I don't know how human beings. I've seen people make very stupid decisions. See, parents withdraw children in second, third year university because they are relocating to UK, relocating to the US. If you know anybody about to do that, tell the person you have found out that it is total foolishness. To pay for university education when you get to the United States is one of the hardest things to do. If you don't get a scholarship, you will be working and schooling and dying. Your whole life they'll be using up your life for you like this. So I tell people, listen, why do you make such foolish decisions? A child is in second year, third year, even if he must go to UK, go to America. Let that child finish. Because I know a place like the US, they don't care where you come from. Your first degree is a first degree. They don't care the label of the university. What they just want is, okay, you say you have a first degree. Yes, where is the certificate? Where is the transcript? You give it to them. Then that's okay. Go and do our own exam. I forgot what they call it now. Is it GRE or no? What's the other exam? The American exam for graduates. Is it GRE? You just do the GRE. Show them you went to school. Instantly, all right? Once you show them that, you can apply for postgraduates. That's the way their life is. You come in there, and they see you have an advantage instantly. But people know, many, the one I was talking to my mother today, he said the boy is still perambulating. Why it became a topic of discussion, all right? Is that the parents had two children and one just died. And the other one is roaming around the world, having abandoned his engineering
studies in Nigeria. Fear caused confusion. People can't make rational decisions again. Listen, God will prosper you wherever you are. There's no country that makes prosperity for the believer easier. My wife and I sat up, is it this morning or yesterday when we were talking? So as believers, you will make up your mind that the word of God will work in my life. I will succeed by grace, not by hustle. The Lord is good. So our school of prayer, I was supposed to be praying. I will pray, amen?
Amen?
Let me just say it again. Believers, the thing that is preventing what God wants to do from coming into your life is in your life. It's not outside. Are you getting my point? The thing is inside you. It's not outside. It's not in your neighbor. It's not in your father. It's not in the witch that does not like you. Every single one of the destiny destroyers and the destiny withholders of the life or of the lives of Christians is inside them. There are no destiny destroyers outside. Are there no enemies outside? We know now. There are. But the scripture is there that has guaranteed us the truth, the success that God has said concerning our lives. And that is, I know you have enemies. So I have made an arrangement to prepare the table in their presence. That's all. Like I say all the time, we do warfare with the word of God. So when people say, you have enemies, you say, I know. So how do you know? The Bible says, he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Nobody outside can destroy your destiny. The man, the woman, the auntie, the uncle, whoever it is that doesn't like you, cannot destroy your destiny. The only thing that destroys the destiny of believers is inside them. I wanted to preach on radio once. Israel revolted. I wanted to do a program titled War Against Destiny Destroyers. Israel looked like, Pastor, that one don't go good though. I said, let's do it now. So that people will tune in. Then they'll come and hear the truth. I think we should still do it too. Apostle, let me leave Israel. Maybe you'll be on my side. We'll announce it ahead. 3 days of blasting every destiny destroyer. All the things that say you will not prosper. This weekend they will die. They won't notice that you didn't say all the people. You said all the things. But they won't notice. They want to kill somebody. They won't notice. They will not notice. Then when you start preaching that message you have in that book, Beyond Gifts and Talents. Thank you. I start preaching what I have in Beyond Gifts and Talents, in which you took the life of Samson and showed that even though he was called of God, even though an angel announced his conception, even though just like Moses, he was a beautiful child, even though an angel showed up to his mother, then showed up to the mother and reported to the father, then the father came and prayed and the angel returned. Dramatic arrival. Check it. In the Bible, very few people were conceived like that. Very few. Samson. Even Samuel's own prayer. There was no vision. Samuel was just there one day. My mother was praying. And then they say, you don't drink. Say, oh God, not drink. I'm just my agony. Don't worry. God will give to you. That's all. The only people that I know from scripture that will come to that category, Samson himself, Moses, even though we don't have a story about it, but we know. Moses was in that category. John the Baptist and our Lord Jesus Christ. Of the four people we know, Samson was one of them. That should guarantee success. It should, except that in Samson's case, it did not. He had a brilliant destiny, but he had destiny destroyers inside him. He was a spoiled child. We don't want to talk about it now. And everywhere he went, there he saw a woman. Man will go on missionary visit and camp with the harlot. Pastor will go to town for crusade. For night, go and check the hotel he stayed. All those ushers in the hotel, they are not from the church. And he actually thinks that nothing will happen. Why? He's anointed. Yeah. I've seen it. Preachers who think because they are anointed. There's one joker in Ghana. These are people that if I were God, I'll just kill for the fun of it. Just wake up in the morning and say, let's do target practice. Nobody said they vex, so just target practice. There are people like that. They just because they are anointed. Anything they do is correct. They are men of God. There are people like that. And please preach to them that I said, God called, Moses is one of the people we mentioned, right? God called him. He was born by a dramatic manifestation. Even though the details are not in the Bible, the Bible called him a beautiful child. From that, we decoded the rest of it. But at least he was called dramatically. Born in bush. Then finally, on his way to go and execute the call of God, God stopped by to kill him. Go and listen to my message, why God killed Moses. Why? What am I trying to bring out? The fact that you are called, you are anointed, does not mean anything. The most powerful man will still die suddenly. Powerful anointing. Moses was still going to die suddenly. And people will say, the way that guy was called was so dramatic. No, all the enemies of his soul, they've gotten him. No, it was not the enemies of his soul. It was God that killed him. Why? He refused to circumcise his son. Go and listen to that series, Learning from Moses. I talked about the circumcision of your life. Everything that's your offspring, God wants them circumcised as a Christian. Otherwise, you risk just dying suddenly. One of the most important things, better circumcise your ambitions. I hope you're getting what I'm saying. Circumcise your ambitions. I want to be the youngest millionaire is how you will die faster than anybody else. I want to build the biggest house in our village. That one is guaranteed. That is, make sure the sitting room is big to accommodate your luxurious funeral. Tell me the truth, though. Not kidding about it. All those rubbish things Christians get involved in, all the nonsense of competition. It is lack of circumcision. Yes, it rhymes. Apostle, did you notice that? All this nonsense of competition is lack of circumcision. Listen, if you please go and listen to this series, Learning from Moses. If your life is not circumcised, believe me, you don't want to live long. You have to circumcise what the Bible calls your seed. What is your seed? Anything that God is producing through you on the earth. And those who want to build ministry so that they will have secure income, that's lack of circumcision. Yes. The one that's burning in my heart now, for those who are called to ministry, they want to first establish themselves materially before they come and respond to the call of God that He has placed there eternally before they were born. Man wants to do every other thing first, then we will not settle down and obey God. You know, you don't understand God. You think He's your friend. God is nobody's friend. It's people that can become His friend. Are you getting my point? And the way you are behaving, you are not going to be His friend. God doesn't care. When Moses started misbehaving, He personally killed Moses. And you know, there are different ways of killing people. You can send the devil. You can send an angel of death. When you are very close to God like that, He kills you personally. That is the one that there is no remedy. You will so die, they won't see body to bury. And that's what happened to Moses. God said, come, lie down here. Brought the real Moses out of the body and disappeared the body. People don't know God. They just say, okay, you want to leave everything. The life is not comfortable. That's lack of circumcision. Don't joke with Him. Every moment of your life, you're supposed to be obeying Him, doing things that are pleasing to Him. That's what I'm talking about. What am I talking about? Listen, so the fact that you're anointed does not protect you. An anointed man must depart from iniquity. Now, I want you to know that I'm talking about Samson. Samson, with all the anointing of his soul, God poured grace upon him mightily. Very, very anointed. One man riot squad. Yet, because he did not circumcise himself properly,
His anointing could not preserve his life. He died as a young man. He was very young when he died. Very, very young. What am I going to say? The destiny destroyer was not outside. It was inside. Delilah was not the destiny destroyer of Samson. No. Delilah was just an instrument to manifest the fact that the man inside him, there was no strength left. That was, you know, when we're young, we say, why did he tell Delilah? Oh, he shouldn't have told Delilah. Samson, you know, as me, you know, you're watching a film. He's about to tell. Somebody like my wife will say, don't tell. You know, you want it, don't tell. Those days, you know, when I first married, I used to wonder, sit down, now it's a film. After a few years, I don't talk again. I said, don't tell. I said, yes, don't tell. What am I trying to explain? Listen. You know, we're there thinking that it's something. Don't tell. But the truth is that he will tell. He has to tell. He must tell. He shall tell. That strength to resist telling was gone. Where did he go to? You know. The Bible says, because of an adulterous woman, a man is reduced to a loaf of bread. That was where he went. The man's destiny destroyer was him. He destroyed his own destiny. That is why anything that God wants to do in our lives, we are the ones that can stop it. Nobody else can. Nobody else can. Listen, the fact is that as believers, we have been freed from every curse. Your ancestors don't have any problem with them anymore. How do you ensure that? It is simple. Just simply say, in the name of Jesus, I give my life to Christ. I forsake all things. God, redeem me, wash me. You pray the prayer, you give your life to Christ. Deliberately, not assumingly. You know, assumingly. Just assume that since I've been going to church since I was young, I must be born again. You deliberately do it. Once you do that, believe me, you are washed. You are clean. Then Satan now has to try and start luring you back. How does he do it? He starts sharing with you the ways of the ancestors. Their ways always produce that curse. Those ways, that's what they produce. So you have to be careful to walk away from them. There's no destiny destroyer outside. When God wants to manifest something, it is us. We can prevent it from coming. The Bible says that they tempted God in the wilderness and limited the Holy One of Israel. Jesus said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I have wanted, all right, to gather you under my wings like a hen gathers her brood. He said, but you will not have any of it. It is them. So for that reason, now your house is left to you desolate. It was not anybody outside. It was not the Romans. It was them that said no. They won't have it. They said, we'll stand by the ways and see. Ask for the good part. Where the ancient part is, the one that the elders walked in, and walk in it. They said, no, we will not walk in it. For that reason, God said, I will give them the fruit of their ways. That's Jeremiah chapter 6. It's never outside. It's always inside. It's never outside. It's always inside. It is never outside. It is a very wrong and wasteful set of prayer points, wasting our time, that we have been taught in the body of Christ these days. We pray all night against the enemies of their destiny. And as they are praying it, they are eyeing their neighbor. In their spirit, when they say fall down and die, they expect the boss to die tomorrow when they go to work. They are coming to work expecting the man to have died. They get to the office. The man says, why are you just coming? They can't answer, not because they don't know where they are coming from, but because they are surprised the man is sitting down there. Because last night they fired every arrow. Most Christians praying these days, who have not learned the truth, are praying prayers of witchcraft. Enemies of progress, they are not outside, they are inside. For that reason, like I said, I wanted to pray purification prayers. For that reason, if a Christian wants to pray, he prays about himself. She prays about herself. Why am I not progressing is inside. It's not those who don't like me. Why am I not progressing? Maybe the time is not ripe, or I'm not yet ready for that progress. It's never outside. Because it says, when the ways of a man pleases the Lord, even his enemies, they will be compelled to be at peace with him. It's never outside. Israel was one of the smallest nations in that environment. And God did it for a specific reason. To prove to them that your size is not the issue. It's the size of your God. So if you are going to be victorious and live at peace, make sure you are at peace with him. He said, acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. That was the law. In return and in rest, you will be saved. That was the law. The problem is never outside. Problem is always inside. So when a Christian wants to pray, he constantly purges himself. She constantly purges herself, purifies herself with the washing of water by the word. Constantly, every day. Every day. This is the area where I think I'm weak. The Bible says that every sin that doth easily beset, we have to set aside. So you say, this is the sin that doth easily beset. So it takes all the prayer armor and fires against it. Helmet of salvation on just on that matter. Shield of faith on that matter. The sword of the spirit on that matter. Day and night. Until victory is established in that area. I told you when people were saying that Reuben Abati said he saw witches in Asurok. People say, what's wrong with him? Doesn't know what he said. I was not in Asurok, but spiritual principles, they are real. 2 weeks before he said that, we were preaching it here. That have mercy on the head of state. There are too many Ogbanje spirits firing arrow in this direction. Wanting to control him because they want to control oil block. They want licenses. They want big business. They want exemption from custom duties. Those are the things we are talking about. All these witches, they are looking for who will fly the highest. They don't know anything yet. The real witches are controlling money. I'm serious. All this competition of who dropped me in the river, my... Remember the man who said he was flying? And they knocked in the paper. Say Benin witch, they fly ago. I heard the joke when I went to Benin. They said in Benin that the airport has 2 gates. One for Arik, Ero, all those people. But then another gate. Now old women they fly for that. My son, you see they go. They say, well, they take off by 8 o'clock. After Arik, don't close. Other one, and a joke. Are you getting my point? Joke. One man, his head is not correct. He said he's a witch. He fell inside the water. Real witches are falling in Aso Rock. Real witches. They are in government houses. Negotiating contracts of 5 billion naira. Deciding who holds this oil block, who doesn't hold it. The president won't know when he's signing. Because somebody's at the back doing incantation in his head. That's why they need you to pray. When you write and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, he will not sign anything that will not be for the good of the land. When he wants to sign, no matter how many people are raising up, killing goats and killing cow and killing people, so he can sign. One angel will say, he ain't signing today. They say, why? Because the people of God said no. But when the people of God gather and say, the man doesn't have sense, how will he have sense? He will sign anything. Yeah. The people of God are not allowed. Are you getting my point? Let me not digress anyway. Well, back to the main thing I'm saying. So listen, it's not outside. It's what? Inside. It's where? Inside. It is inside. This is where we pray, so that things can work the way God ordained it to work. We pray about ourselves. We sprinkle the blood on ourselves again. We don't sprinkle the blood on enemies. Blood doesn't work on enemies. Read your Bible, you will see every time blood was applied, it was applied to the people of God. They never applied the blood on the Philistines. So have you killed the goat? The Passover lamb, yes, so yeah. The blood, sprinkle it towards the seat of the Philistines. Have you ever seen it? No. They sprinkle it on the mercy seat. They use it to anoint the priests. Put it on their earlobes. Put it on their thumbs. Put it on their bodies. They put it on the doorposts of their homes. They didn't say the Egyptians don't want us to go. The blood of the lamb against their armies. They now sneak to the barrack of the Egyptian soldiers and paint it with the Passover blood? Who will die? No, think, who go die now? The Israelites will die. The Egyptians will live longer and imprison them some more. So we don't sprinkle the blood on enemies. We sprinkle the blood on ourselves. Now that he has been sprinkled once and for all, the only way we do, we reenact that covenant, especially in our prayers. So this is the blood of the new covenant. We start walking by that new covenant. We start uttering because the blood speaks. I hope you understand that.
Yes,
the blood speaks. And how you win is by speaking the same thing that the blood is speaking about you. When they say you are bound, somebody say you are in bondage, you know, a witch in the village tied you down, they say it's not possible. It's not possible. Say, by the blood of Jesus that was shed, I have been delivered thoroughly. I have been delivered from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son, in whom I have redemption, even the forgiveness of my sins. That's what the blood is doing. That's the blood speaking. I hope you're getting my point here. That's how we apply the blood. We apply the blood constantly. You don't shout, all my enemies, the blood of Jesus. Rubbish talk. Rubbish talk. The blood of Jesus is on me. It's on me. Upon your head, what is it? No, I want to hear the blood of Jesus. Upon your head?
The blood of Jesus.
In your life?
The blood of Jesus.
On your heart?
The blood of Jesus.
That's where it works. So. Purifying you. Labeling you thoroughly so that every enemy, every devil, every spirit can see that you have been bought with a price. You know, I like Indian women. When they don't marry, they paint hair red. I think that's what Christians should do spiritually. And that's what Indian women do. When they've married, they paint hair red. You ever see a film, see an Indian woman with hair red, that means she has a husband. And in Christ Jesus, for the believer, Christ Jesus is who? Their husband. So when you take his blood and paint it here, everybody will declare for you as you are coming. The Lord is good. What am I going to say? So that's it. The only thing that can prevent that breakthrough, the only thing that can prevent the victory is what we allow. So that's why we want to pray. We pray for ourselves. I'm just watching my time. I don't know why I spoke for so long, all right? I want to read a particular scripture. Let me just read it maybe after that. No, let me not read it. Maybe I'll read it next time. Because it will take a lot of explaining. It will require a lot of explaining. Let me just say, make this statement and then we'll just rise, we'll pray, and then we'll close. Now, what I just want to bring out from all of this, is what I've been saying. It's not outside, it's inside, right? So we prepare the inside. When God wants to release breakthrough on people, when God wants to do something new in their lives, they can hinder it if they are not ready for it. That's why Paul said in that 2 Corinthians, we read it again and again here, chapter 6, then into chapter 7. He said in verse 1, seeing that we have these promises, let us cleanse ourselves of all defilement of flesh and spirit, and perfect holiness in the fear of God. That means that if we don't do that, the promises will not manifest. That's it. That is it. If we don't do that, if we don't cleanse ourselves of all defilement of flesh and spirit, the promises will not manifest. I've said it before. Why did it take God 21 days to release Michael to go and help the angel that was bringing an answer to Daniel? It's not because God forgot. It's not because Michael was busy. It's simply because it was not yet right to release Michael. So many times Christians say prayers that God answers instantly, but it's not yet right to release Michael to help the prayer arrive. The answer arrived. Are you getting my point here? What is holding Michael? It is simple. They have not finished purging themselves. What is holding Michael? It is simple. They have not uttered the right words. They've not finished circumcising their hearts. So even though they pray to God for prosperity, God says the prosperity that I send at this point in this guy's life, in this my girl's life, is going to cause destruction because she's not properly circumcising heart concerning the use of abundance. So God says, fine, angel of prosperity, go. And he knows it won't get there. He knows he won't get there. So the angel of prosperity is released from the throne of God. It gets to the border of the fellow's life. And a spirit rises and says, you can't come in here. And I said, God, release the Michael for this moment. God said, not yet. Why not? Michael is released. No, we're talking in Makode. Okay, you were not there. It was Israel. All right? That Jesus said that on the Son of Man, if you read the New Living Translation, okay, that's one of the things we wanted to read, but let's leave it. He said, on the Son of Man, angels will climb, ascending and descending. He said, because it's the gateway to heaven. That is, when angels want to move, they need somebody to ride on. I hope you get my what I'm trying to say here. They need somebody to ride on. And he said, this person, you can't carry the weight of Michael. He can't come yet. You can't carry the weight of Michael. So why can't I? You don't have that weight in the realm of the spirit. There's still a lot of lightness in your soul by reason of these areas, by reason of this that have not yet been circumcised. So God said, what am I going to do for this, my son? What will I do for this, my daughter? I'll start sending words in her direction. Start sending words in his direction so that he will be making the right choices. One of the things, listen, by the time God makes a Christian a billionaire, he does not want billions anymore. I don't know whether you're getting my point. As long as you want it, you ain't getting it. By the time you finally get it, God makes sure you don't want it again. That for you, it has become just a tool. Now, I told my wife something yesterday, this morning when we were sharing the word. Was it yesterday or this night? Was it yesterday or this morning? I don't even know again. One of those two times, yeah. Either yesterday or this morning. Now, when you talk to the same person all the time, you will know when you said what. All these men that marry many wives, they don't know what they are missing. They think I don't know what I'm missing. No, they don't know what they are missing. Solomon knew what he was missing. He advised those of us coming after him. He said, enjoy life with the wife of thy youth. Because sometimes he'll be talking with one girl. Say, no, I was saying that we'll go to Nineveh. The girl said, when? He said, okay, sorry. It wasn't you. Confusion in the family. The Lord is good. I was talking to my wife, you know, we were talking. I think it was this morning. We just said, listen, any storm you cannot sleep through, you can't speak to. Do you hear what I said? Any storm that keeps you awake, you don't have the power to speak to it. The storm Jesus spoke to, when it was raging, he was sleeping. He understood that this storm, you can't take me. He was asleep. It was the other guys that panicked and woke him up. So he came, what's the storm you guys? This one? The storm went down. What's wrong with all of you? You had this storm because of this? My wife and I were talking. I said, baby, any storm you can't sleep through, you can't speak to it. You are too small to speak to it. Oh, the Lord is good. So God said, listen, this man, this little man, you can't handle this thing. That's why we are not releasing it yet. So what do? We start teaching. The word starts coming. At a point in time, inside, strength is built. And then, boom, Michael is released. And then suddenly, that prosperity comes. At that point, he can sleep through the storm. Economic hardship doesn't worry him again. He's not afraid. He said, dollar is coming down to, he started at 150. He's now 450. He said, dollar fee work. Waiting, I won't sleep. Sir, our business. Hey, listen, we'll discuss business tomorrow. Right now, I want to sleep. Those are the kinds of people that can speak to money. Come, and it will come. But those who are panicking, they can't sleep. In the name of Jesus, money, we are calling you. Come, come. Money ain't coming anywhere. The Lord is good, though. So that's what happens. So what do? We keep on declaring God's word, building up ourselves so that we can handle prosperity. Building up ourselves so that we can handle the thing that God wants to release. It's not by determination that this only Ogboju is by the word. Oh, the Lord is good. Honestly, I wish I would continue talking because I've gotten to that point now when people now understand what we are doing with the word, when we are praying for ourselves. We now understand that we are the ones that can limit God. So we say, what's all the limitations? We start cleaning them off. For example, we know fear is a terrible limitation. Oh, fear is terrible. In quotes, now I want to say it in quotes. Be afraid of fear, not the thing you're afraid of. Are you getting my point? Don't be afraid of lack of money. Be afraid of being afraid of lack of money. I have found that, you know, my wife and I were sharing. I said, listen, some of the things you are praying to God for, don't pray, God, give it to me. Say, God, please make me understand I don't need it. That's the first prayer point. Before you say to God, give me money, first say to him, God,
I need to get to a point where I understand that a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. Remember that day came to you and Israel and I were going to Makot. And when the way we were talking, we talked about ministry and money and everything. I told you after I meditated about everything, I read one scripture. Paul said, I have coveted nobody's goods. And I prayed. I didn't say, God, give me money. I said, God, please, make sure I can say like Paul, I have coveted nobody's goods. That is, let me go to places where I'm preaching in the midst of exceedingly wealthy people. And my shoulder just like this. I don't want to be friends with anybody because you, and God has really helped me. I have preached in places where the people are very rich. I told you that they invited me for a program. The woman called, talk. I said, this your trip is going to be too expensive for me, time-wise. A day to go, a day to come back. Just for me to speak on that middle day, you know, one day to go. Then the program is one day. Then the second, the third day to come back. Well, that day, I will talk for just a few minutes. I said, please, sir. My spirit just said, when you start telling your spirit, you know, it doesn't impress me. There are many things pushing your spirit. I said, okay, let me think about it. My wife and I were talking. My wife said, if it was a one poor pastor's wife that called you, will you go? I said, God bless you. I called the woman, but I know they come. Yeah, this was only a discussion because you had money. I said, I'm sorry. And why I made that decision was that my wife said, my husband, me and her were talking. I don't know who said exactly. I said, if it was one poor pastor's wife somewhere that called you, will you go? I said, for this amount of effort, I said, no, I won't go. The moment we said that, I picked the phone. Just sent them, I'm so sorry. I've considered it. I am not coming. Well, a man flew in his private jet for the program. When I heard that one later, I said, Lord, I thank you. I did not come. But one of our brothers who's there, when I told him later, he said, sir, I don't think I would have wanted you to go. This is not what you stand for in our lives. I said, thank you. There are times God doesn't need to whisper to you. Just use your spiritual sense. You will know his will. It's true. I told you I went to preach somewhere the other day. When they first called me to come and preach there, the brother said, sir, you see, we like people like you, gifted, you know, some of my brothers. I said, I will leave Enugu for 45 minutes because in my head, get 10 per person. That is, I will leave Enugu, travel to Lagos because there's no early morning flight on Sunday. I have to miss this meeting on Saturday because people are rich. I told them, I said, you are not serious. Don't call me back on this matter. He said, sorry, sir. And actually, I told them that you will not agree. I said, me, I will leave Enugu to come and preach for you people 45 minutes on a Sunday. And these people that I deliver 2 hours, they can't escape on Saturday evening. Sunday morning, I've gone to Makurdi. I said, listen, I'm sorry. I don't care how rich, and I know that they are rich people. Say, I don't care how rich your church is. You can't drag me out of here for 45 minutes on a Sunday. That is just for 45 minutes. Forget that thing. He said, sorry, sir. That actually, they've talked about it. That with all their stubbornness, they organized a program for Saturday. Their Bible study on Sunday morning, they first gave that one to me before the main service. So I had 3 sessions. I said, good. Now I can come. Don't move me up and down because you are rich. I don't hate money. It's just a prayer I prayed. I say, Lord, let me be able to say I have coveted nobody's goods. You man, that's when Balaam begins prophesying rubbish, that's how he starts. That's how prophetic madness begins. You think Balaam did not know? Balaam said, double the money. Prophetic madness, that is the genesis. That's what I'm trying to explain to you. Anything you want to do in life, that prayers you pray is not Father God, as I'm in ministry. In the name of Jesus, you will give me abundance. Hey, God, let's settle it in order. As I'm in ministry, first of all, may I never preach for money. Let this mouth never twist your word for money. Lord, like you did for Paul, do it for me. So that I will be able to say, I have coveted nobody's goods. That is why till today, if you give me a choice, go to Botswana or go to United States to preach, I choose Botswana first. You tell me today, go to Burundi. That's what I wanted to say. You go to Burundi, go to Rwanda. Or go to US, I choose Burundi first. Because they need the gospel. That's how you pray your prayer. That is how what allows angels into your lives. And you are beginning to miss your church because you want to see an allergy. You know you have a problem. If you know, The angel of prosperity is standing at the door. But he said, look, I can't come in. Why? There's too much hindrance. Look at all the spirits around you. They're not letting me come in. Lord, release Michael now. Say, Michael needs somebody to ride on. He can't ride on this girl. Can't ride on this boy. Let's send him words with which he will be saved. Then the man takes the word and starts applying it. Say, fear will not drive me from Enugu to Abakaliki. Fear will not move me from Lagos to Port Harcourt. Fear will not take me from Lagos to America. Fear will not move me. Only the fear of God, only the knowledge of purpose will shift me from one place to the other. And he declares it all the time. I do not have the spirit of fear. I have a sound mind. In Christ Jesus, I have a sound mind. I'm not afraid of tomorrow. My God is the God of tomorrow. When he declares that and declares that, Michael will just come on the ladder, fume into his life, say, which prince of Persia is there? The prince of Persia said, no, now you should have told us he's your guy. Why are you taking this thing personal? Why did it take God 21 days to release Michael? He said they were not ready for Michael. If Michael comes in, he will injure them themselves. The Lord is good. So the Christians take the word, therefore, and they start walking on themselves. They start declaring, I am filled with the knowledge of his will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. I'm walking in manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing him in all respects. I am bearing fruit in every good work. I'm increasing the knowledge of God. Now, I was talking to my wife yesterday, and when we talk, I said, listen, baby, if because of 50,000 naira business, you are praying all night, God will just leave you alone. That 50,000 naira business is where you will be forever. You know why? He said, 50,000, you don't sleep. I give you 50 million. What do you think will happen? The fear of losing 50,000 like this, that's why they tremble. In the name of Jesus, Father, come, oh, help us. Oh, hey, Agbe, Oluwa, Jo, eh? Come see. 50K. Then the angel, reduce it small to drop to 35. Then you'll be able to sleep. God says, see her level. That's why I say, when you want to pray, don't pray about the money. Say, God, why am I up because of this? Any storm you cannot sleep through, you can't speak to. Say, Lord, no. Let me pray about myself. I need the peace of God that passes all understanding. Those are the things you attack in prayer. So when you stay up all night, it's not to be praying over money or praying over things like that. It is to pray over yourself. Say, Father God, I will not be afraid. Lord, I will not fear. In the name of Jesus, I recognize that money is vanity. Material things, they are vanity. The only thing that matters is that I walk in a manner pleasing to you. Do you know sometimes God will let you lose money just to check how you respond? You are so sure the business will work. God says, no. You get there, say, yeah, collect that money. Don't let her see a cobble. You now stay there, say, all the people that were instrumental, by fire. By fire. You finish all of that, God says, that's what I was trying to check. By fire, because person thief your money. When they kill your son, what do you go do? They kill my son. Are you getting my point? That's what God is saying. You wipe all of them out. He just took your money because they are not ready yet. I told the story that Arjun to know. He went again. A man did him evil. They were doing business together. The man made him, he blamed his relatives working on the business as the reason why they were not succeeding. Ajilotuno pulled out his relatives, took them to another business. That other business succeeded very well. The man came and said, you took our staff to another business. So that business, half of it, the profit is my own. Lotuno looked and said, you must be out of your mind. You were the one that said these people are the reason why we're not doing well. You drove them away. I had another job, so I took them to that job. That guy said, I heard that job made money. Yes, it did. I'm not hiding it. So whatever it made, half is my own. Otherwise, I will sue. The man said, I will see you in court. As a turn, the Holy Spirit said, pay him. There are times you tell God, please, I will resume Christianity tomorrow. Today I'm a Muslim. Say, today I'm a Muslim. Pay who? Say, God, I know you are kind, but not all your children are like that. The Holy Spirit said, pay him. But you know, couldn't believe. And you know, there are times you know it's Holy Spirit. Because your flesh doesn't talk such nonsense. Human flesh doesn't say such things. It has to be the Holy Spirit. The man gathered the money.
and paid him half of the profits. This is the sad side of it for the other man. 2 years later, he was wiped out entirely from business. Little known, he got richer and richer and richer. You don't obey God with bold face. It's with prayer.
Yes, sir.
There are times you have finished obeying. You say, was that me? Believe me, it was not you. It was the Spirit entered into you when he spoke to you and set you on your feet. That's what happens. Let's rise. Let's close. Let me see whether I can pick it up from here next time. We have to be able to let the angels ride, come into our circumstances, so that they can execute the will of God in our lives. Prayers for purifying ourselves is not for the enemies. Many things have been guaranteed already. Everybody just declare, say, I am being filled with the knowledge of his will.
I am being filled with the knowledge of his will.
In all spiritual wisdom and understanding.
In all spiritual wisdom and understanding.
As a result of this, I am walking in a manner worthy of the Lord.
I am pleasing him in all respects.
I am bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing the knowledge of God. Say, I am walking in love as a beloved child of God. I walk by the Spirit, and I do not fulfill the desires of the flesh. Say that again. I walk by the Spirit. I do not fulfill the desires of the flesh.
I walk in the fear of God.
All things have passed away out of my life. Say it. All things have passed away out of my life. Say, in the name of Jesus, I have been washed. In the name of Jesus,
I am clean.
In the name of Jesus,
I am circumcised.
Now that is very important. The circumcision of the heart is what God was going after. Say,
in the name of Jesus,
I am circumcised in my heart.
Say, the body of old flesh,
say, the old body of flesh
has been put away.
Every work of the devil
has been put away
out of my life.
Every work of iniquity,
every work of the flesh
has been removed.
I have the ability now
to walk in righteousness.
I have the ability
to walk in holiness.
I walk in a manner worthy of the Lord.
I please him in all respects.
I bear fruit in every good work.
And I increase in the knowledge of God.
Say, my destiny will not be destroyed.
Say, not like Samson.
My destiny will not be destroyed.
Say, Delilah will not get me.
Because I'm purified.
I have the strength of the Spirit.
I can resist temptation.
I will not be led into evil.
I will not be led into evil.
I will not be fall. I will not fall for temptations.
Because the Spirit of Christ is in me.
Say, the Spirit of God is in me.
I am a child of God.
I am redeemed.
The old flesh has been removed.
Sin does not have any dominion over me.
Say, Michael can come into my life.
Give the Lord thanks. Just give the Lord thanks. Just give the Lord thanks.
Just give him thanks. Give him thanks. Give him thanks. Give him thanks that you are free. You are not afraid of any witch or anything. Just give him thanks. Say, Lord, I thank you because I am not afraid. I have been delivered. I have been delivered. Say, my destiny is bright. Wherever I am, there I will fulfill my destiny. Anywhere you lead me to, there I will fulfill my destiny. Anywhere you lead me to, there I will fulfill my destiny. In this country, I will fulfill my destiny. If you move me to anywhere in Africa, I will fulfill my destiny.
Lord, thank you for the liberty of knowledge. The liberty that comes as a result of the knowledge of God. Thank you.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Father, we give you thanks for today.
In Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen.
Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of fruitfulness and multiplication
In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, one more time, personalize it. This is my season of fruitfulness and multiplication in the name of Jesus. Bless somebody on your left and on your right. This is your season of fruitfulness and multiplication in the name of Jesus. Another person.